Board. We want to welcome you all to the August 11th meeting of the Development Review Board. This is a remote or online meeting where all participants will be on video or audio conference. We're conducting this meeting remotely so everyone can participate safely while we remain under a public health emergency. Please keep your audio on mute and your video off when you are not involved in the case being heard. Please note that we're recording the audio of this meeting since it is audio only. It will be important that you give your name each time before you begin your remarks. We will also use the chat capability of Zoom to let you know which agenda item we are on. Please watch for that feed. There are changes to the agenda, so that will be important for you to keep track of there. The chat will also let you ask questions of Maggie Gould and Jay Rodenbeck, who are moderators. We want to inform you that all chat conversations are part of the record and subject to the Inspection of Public Records Act. Please keep your chat comments relative to the meeting. I would like the DRB members to introduce themselves, starting with Water Authority.
This is Mike Carter for the Water Authority.
Morning, Vince Montano, Code Enforcement.
Morning, this is Cheryl Sommerfeld with Parks and Rec. Sorry, my camera is not functioning well, so I'm going to keep it off when not needed. Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology.
Jane Wolfenberger with Transportation.
And again, I'm Jolene Wolfley, DRB Chair. Our first order of business is to suspend the rules of the DRB to one, accommodate a virtual or remote meeting of the DRB through Zoom, and two, allow DRB members to provide some electronic signatures for approved of plats and plans after the meeting rather than during the meeting. Is there a motion to suspend the rules for this purpose?
And Carter, Water Authority, so moved.
That's Montano, Code Enforcement, second.
Please vote.
Mike Carter, Water Authority, approved.
Vince Montano, Code Enforcement, I approve.
Somerville, Parks and Rec, I approve.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology, I approve.
Jane Wolfenberger with Transportation, I approve.
And Jolene Wolfley, DRB Chair, approves. There's a consensus vote of the DRB to suspend the rules to allow for this virtual meeting and electronic signatures after the meeting. Just a few notes for our applicants. A reminder that please use the public notice form that's on the DRB website. Looks like I accidentally turned my camera off. And also make sure that all your submittals and resubmittals are going through Planders, and they need to go through Ms. Gomez so that she can make sure they're properly filed and that all DRB members have them. So we're glad that you work with various DRB members, but all the submittals need to go through Ms. Gomez so that we can make sure our records are complete and everyone has them. And then finally, a reminder that the IDEO update has become effective. It's the 2020 update. It began in 2020 and was effective August 1st, 2021. We've decided to note on the agenda which IDEO your application is under to help us keep track. And hopefully that'll help you. If for some reason you see an error there, don't hesitate to point it out. And also there are new requirements for site plans under the climatic and geographic responsiveness. Those forms are also up to date on the website. And if you have any questions about that, you're welcome to contact me. Those DRB members who approve of your site plan, flat, or infrastructure list today will electronically sign those documents following the meeting. Electronic signatures will not happen for the most part during the meeting in order to expedite the agenda. Mr. Jay Rodenbeck routes documents through DRB members once the applicant has submitted a final PDF that includes all of their utility signatures. This is the quickest path to get your signatures complete. The applicants will then receive an email copy of the signed document. If you're approved with delegation, please complete your delegation items with the appropriate DRB members and send your PDFs to Mr. Rodenbeck. Okay, now I'm going to first, before I go to Ms. Gomez, just mention an item on the agenda that involves The agent Cartesian surveys. So on July, July 21st, PR 2021-5019 and SD 2021-110 for vacation of public easement and SD 2021-109 preliminary final plat was deferred to August 11th. We made an error and did not get it on the agenda for today. And so that case will be on the agenda for August 18th. And that is the agent is Cartesian Surveys and the location is 4701 4th Street Northwest. Okay, Ms. Keene, I see you here. And Mr. Mulhall may be here too. I just wanna make sure you got that information and that you're okay with what I've outlined here.
Let's run with Cartesian. And yeah, that works fine for us. I know we wouldn't be approvable at this meeting, so thank you.
Okay. All right, thank you, sir. Sorry for that oversight. All right, now I'll turn to Ms. Gomez for other changes to the agenda.
For item number four, PR 2021-5473, application SI 2021-709 for site plan. The agent has requested a deferral to September 22nd.
Is there a motion to defer item four, which is at 7801 La Mirada Place and UNSER? I'm deferring that to September 22nd.
Blaine Carter, Water Authority, so moved.
Joe Sommerfeld, Parks and Rec, seconds.
Please vote.
Blaine Carter, Water Authority, approve.
Spencer Montano, Code Enforcement, I approve.
Joe Sommerfeld, Parks and Rec, I approve.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology, I approve.
Jane Wolfenbarger with Transportation, I approe.
And Jolene Wolfley, DRB chair approves. There's a consensus vote of the DRB to defer item four, PR 2021-5473 and site plan 2021-709 to September 22nd. Next item, Ms. Gomez.
Item number nine, PR 2020-4748, application number SD 2021-152 for preliminary and final plat. The agent has requested a deferral to August 25th.
Is there a motion to defer item nine at 1 Civic Plaza and 400 Marquette to August 25th?
And Carter, Water Authority, so moved.
Joe Sommerfeld, Parks and Rec, seconds.
Please vote.
Blaine Carter, Water Authority, approve.
Vincent Montano, Code Enforcement, I approve.
Joe Sommerfeld, Parks and Rec, I approve.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology, I approve.
Jane Wolfenberger with Transportation, I approve.
And Jolene Wolfley, DRB Chair, approves. There's a consensus vote of the DRB to defer item nine, PR 2020-4748 and preliminary final plat application 2021-152 to August 25th. Anything else, Ms. Gomez?
The last announcement I have is for item number 11. This project, the application number for this project has been changed to PR 2021-5864.
Okay, so 2021-5864. Okay. And I think that's because we realized that it was not the same as 2402, that parcel. These PR numbers stay the same with the parcel. And so I think on this one, we determined the parcel was not 2402 and it gets a new application, a new PR number for this parcel of 5864, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, the mysteries of the PR numbers are revealed. All right, excellent. And I think that's it.
That's all I have this morning, yes.
Okay, so, just to make everyone aware, item one was previously deferred. We'll hear item two. Number three is deferred. Number four is deferred. Number five is deferred. Six and seven will be heard together. Eight will be heard. Nine is deferred. 10, 11, and 12 will all be reviewed. Okay, if you are a member of the public and you wish to speak on a particular item on the agenda, I will invite you to do that as we go item by item. And I'll explain how to do that when we get to that first opportunity. If there are any technical issues, I will end the meeting and DRB will resume at 1 p.m. using the same Zoom link and phone number. As we begin, I will read a statement regarding the purpose of the Development Review Board. The DRB was created in 1982 to offer efficient considerations of technical standards. The DRB streamlines the application process by bringing together key department staff responsible for the specialized review of projects in a forum where staff and applicant meet to discuss projects and the public can ask questions and share input for those decisions. In 2017, the IDEA was adopted and increased the scope of site plans being reviewed by the DRB and thus increased due process requirements. The DRB members apply the standards and requirements of the Integrated Development Ordinance and Development Process Manual. At this time, I'd like to introduce our fantastic DRB staff and swear them in. Ms. Maggie Gould is the Development Services Manager. Ms. Gould, do you swear affirm to tell the truth?
This is Maggie Gould, and yes, I do.
Thank you, ma'am. Mr. Jay Rodenbeck is Senior Planner to the DRB. Mr. Rodenbeck, do you swear affirm to tell the truth?
This is Jay Rodenbeck. Yes, I do.
And Mr. Shahab Beazar is the City Engineer. Do you swear affirm to tell the truth?
This is Shahab Beazar. I do.
And Ms. Nicole Sanchez is Legal Counsel to the DRB.
Morning.
Good morning. Okay, we've got our preliminaries done and we're ready to go to our agenda. And once again, item one was deferred to August 25th. And so we will start with item two, PR 2020-5689, site plan amendment 2021-987 for Legacy Development. And the location is Constitution between Louisiana and Mesilla. And agent is Consensus Planning. So welcome everyone. I'm gonna look, Ms. Fishman. Let's go ahead and get your, if you state your name, address, and I'll swear you in.
All right, thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Jackie Fishman. My address is 302 A Street, Albuquerque, 87102.
Do you swear affirm to tell the truth?
I do.
Okay, and who on your team would you like me to pull into this conversation?
Dan Monk is our project architect. I think also with DPS is Anthony Santi and then Michael Voss from my office may also speak.
Okay. Dan, can you go ahead and speak up so you're tile goes to the top of my screen. Okay. Good Please morning. Go ahead and introduce yourself, your firm, your address.
Good morning, Madam Chair. My name is Dan Monk. I'm with Decker Parrott Sabatini. Address is 7601 Jefferson Street, Northeast.
Do you swear affirm to tell the truth?
I do.
Okay. And let me go to Mr. Santi. Please introduce yourself with your address.
Hi, my name is Anthony Santi with Decker Parrott Sabatini. 7601 Jefferson Street, Northeast.
Do you swear affirm to tell the truth?
I do.
Great. And Mr. Voss, please go ahead and introduce yourself.
Yes, Michael Voss with Consensus Planning, 302 8th Street, Northwest, 87102.
Do you swear affirm to tell the truth?
I do.
Okay. So we've got a nice group here, Ms. Fishman. Go ahead and lead out. This is the first time we're reviewing this project.
Yes, I had to remind myself of that. thank you, Madam Chair. So this project, as you noted, is located at the southeast corner of Louisiana and Constitution. It is within the Uptown Urban Center, and it's along a major transit corridor of Louisiana Boulevard. We are proposing a multifamily building in the MXM zone. We have podium parking on the ground floor and then four stories of residential units and common areas for the residents' use. This project is just to the south also of Jerry Klein Park. And so it's, in my opinion, very well located. We have 151 units in the building. They are divided between one and two bedroom units and also studio units. We also have a number of amenities in the building. On I believe it's the second floor, we have a swimming pool, a spa, some open areas. It's fairly extensive set of amenities for the building. We also, one thing that I wanted to point out before we really get into this is we did have, one is we did have a neighborhood meeting, a facilitated meeting, I believe it was last week. And I think the facilitator's report should be in your packages. Also, we have reduced the height of the building. So as you all know, in the MXM zone, in this location, we're allowed to have 65-foot maximum building height. With the structured parking gives us an extra 12 to 77 feet of maximum height. And I think our original submittal was very slightly over 73 feet. And the architects have worked on the buildings more since we initially made the submittal, and we are down to 69 feet. So we're about 8 feet below the maximum height. I know building height is a concern of the people that we met with in the neighborhood, but we did reduce that height, and we told them at the meeting that we were doing that. I do have some exhibits I would like to show the board whenever you think would be appropriate. We have some 3D images, which I think will make it a little bit easier to understand how the building is designed and how it will feel to the people around the building. So.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Fishman. That's very helpful. Maybe you can help educate me. I didn't realize there was a height bonus for structured parking. Do you have that slide offhand, just so we can double check that? Or we'll double check.
Yeah, you can double check.
Madam Chair, okay. This is Maggie Gould. I have the ID open and I'll.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. And then I can't remember my other question anymore. Okay. Yeah, I think it might have just been so on that second floor, the pool, spa, open areas, that's all open space. There's no enclosed space there. Is that correct?
That's correct. Okay. And I don't know if we can go to that sheet on the screen.
And we're gonna, if we haven't done it already, we're gonna give you share screen privileges so you can show those elevations or drawings. That's always very helpful to see.
This is Maggie Gould. Ms. Fishman does have screen sharing privileges, and I have found the mixed use zone dimensional standards with the height bonus.
Okay, thank you. And we might just want to get that in our comments so it's kind of recorded that that's there, because I don't think we did that yet. Okay, Ms. Fishman, go ahead.
Madam Chair, I believe it's sheet three, if Jay, you want to turn to that. So that's the second floor that shows the open area with the amenities. We also have an enclosed space, like a clubhouse area in the northwest corner of the building, that space there. But all the areas that are shaded in gray are open air spaces.
Okay, that's helpful, thank you.
Okay.
I think we'll stop sharing to allow you to share.
Okay, I will. Okay, let's see. I'm assuming you can see my screen.
Yes, yeah, these 3D are so much more helpful than 2D. Yes. Thank you.
Exactly. So what we're looking at right now is the corner of the building, but along where my hand is right here, that's Constitution. This building to the west is obviously the Will Ferguson and Associate Building. To the east, you know, again, this is Constitution. We have the multifamily project to the east of us. And you can see how the podium parking is working, where the open spaces within the building are, at the ground floor. It's a little bit hard to tell from the drawing, but I think these drawings really help a lot.
Yes, they do.
Let me turn to the next one. This actually to the north here, you can see the Jerry Klein Tennis Center, where my hand is. This area to the west of the building is an existing parking lot for the office building. And then behind the building to the east, again, is the neighborhood. And again, here you can start to see the open air spaces of the second floor. So it's, what looks like a very solid building on the 2D line drawings. I think this really helps helps the viewer figure out what the building actually looks like. And then this image is a section through the building. Again, to the right, you can see where the existing apartments are to the east. Their parking area next is to the west. Our parking to the west, further our drive lane, here's our podium parking area, and then so on. So you can see also the west side of our building. The drawing, I think for the neighbors, they were a little bit hard to tell where the overhangs of the building were versus where the parking was. So I think this tells the story a lot better. And there's actually more separation than it appeared. Our other image that I just got this morning doesn't have the photo stuff in it, but it shows the building from the east side. I thought that was an important view because the comments that we did receive from the neighbors. This again shows the second floor area with the swimming pool, the spa. This corner here, it's the northeast corner of the building, is our leasing office. And then obviously you can see the surface parking along the east side of our building, and then the podium parking underneath the building.
That's
what I got.
Thank you, Ms. Fishman, and those that created these images, because it's a lot easier to understand what the building architecture is and like how this second floor works with the four stories and all that. So thank you very much for all that you've done and the time put into creating this fairly unique apartment building. So, all right. Is there anyone else on your development team that would like to give comments at this point in time?
I don't have additional comments. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Let's go ahead then and go to public comments. Is there any member of the public that wishes to speak on item 2 on Constitution Avenue? If you can raise your hand in Zoom by pressing star 9, or star 9 if you're on audio. You can use the bottom of your screen. If you hover down there, there's a smiley face that says reactions. If you click on that, it has a raise your hand feature. And you can also just turn your video on and raise your hand that way, or speak up, because I know some people aren't as familiar with Zoom as others. So once again, is there any member of the public that wishes to speak on this application? Okay, I'm not seeing anyone. Please, Maggie and Jay, help me notice if I miss someone. And if for some reason you're here and still trying to figure out how to let us know you want to speak, we can go to you at the time that that we need to make sure you get your chance to speak about the application. Okay. For now, we're going to go to DRB member comments. We're going to start with Water Authority.
Morning, this is Blaine Carter for Water Authority. Several comments this morning. Available statement 210701 has been issued and does provide the conditions of service. There are public water and sewer mains fronting the property available for direct tapping within the service area, and ProRad is not available. Regarding the utility plan, we do need to see shown on there.
Mr. Carter, I'm going to stop you for 1 second. I don't know if it's feedback where you're at or someone else, but so let's try this. Do you know if there's anyone speaking around you?
Yes, there is.
There is, okay. So we'll just start again, and please, you're a fun speaker. You speak quickly and sometimes a little quietly. So we're gonna have you go against your grain a little bit and speak slowly and a little louder, and hopefully we'll overcome any background noise. Okay, let's try that again.
All right, appreciate it. Good morning again, this is Blaine Carter for the Water Authority. So just briefly to repeat, the ones I just said was 210701 is the applicable availability statement that has been issued and provides conditions for service. There's public water and sewer mains available for tapping. On the utility plan, we need to see the meter vault shown. Should be an easement shown for that. It's typically 35 feet by 35 feet. We need to see that shown. And as well, we're questioning the whether there's not any underground existing public utilities in that location. If there are those utilities in that location currently, it's kind of straddling the right-of-way line. We'd want that relocated to where it's not, you know, over top or conflicting with those existing utilities, typically somewhere on the corner of the site. We're asking that you dimension the public water and public sewer easements on the plan, the utility plan, and as well, there was a prohibition in the DPM for trees and parallel sidewalks, parallel curbs within public water and public sewer easements, particularly the curb that's on the east side of the building that runs north-south, conflicts with that. It's a foot or two inside the easement, and so we're questioning, can that be shifted west so it's just outside of the easement?
You just put it right there.
On the infrastructure list, please show the public hydrants that are being installed and the water meter. And, for easements, again, the meter vault does require a 35 foot by 35 foot easement. So please show that, and I can dedicate that as a paper easement. That's all I have for you. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to go over this.
Madam Chair, Mr. Carter, this is Jackie Fishman again. And I should have introduced Hugh Floyd from Respec. He's filling in for Jeremy today. But my understanding, we had a discussion on our project team about all the easements on the east side. And my understanding is we are not within the water or sewer easement on the east side. I think there's so many dashed lines in the parking lot that it's a little bit hard to read. And our goal was to clarify which easements were which. And I don't know if somebody from DPS or Respec wants to speak to that, but my understanding was that the waterline easement was actually in the center where we have our drive aisle.
Yeah, this is Anthony with DPS. if you look on the drawing that's up on the screen now, that key note number one, the square box, identifies the water easement, which is right down the center of our drive aisle. So it's the dashed line just outside of the east curb, and then it continues to the east to the next dashed line. Does that make sense?
This is blame for the water authority. I think that makes sense. I think if you can show that on the utility plan, there's extra dash lines on that one. Throw that up on that one, Allie. I think we're good to go if that's the case on that one. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
This is Hugh. Blaine, we can certainly do that. And then regarding
Mr. Floyd?
Yes, ma'am.
Let's go ahead and get your name and address.
Hugh Floyd, 10536 Vista Bella Place, Northwest.
And do you swear firm to tell the truth?
I do.
Okay, and welcome, Mr. Floyd, and go ahead with your comments.
Thank you. Regarding the meter vault, I don't see any problem with your comments. We don't believe there's any conflicting utilities based on the spotting and survey that we're working off of. We will double check from our end, but we don't believe there's a conflict there.
I think I have my hand raised for that question.
Okay, Blaine, do you have anything more to say?
This is Blaine Carr from the Water Authority Admin for the comments.
Okay. I'm going to kind of go out of DRB comments for just a minute. I see an M. Anderson with his hand up. Are you a member of the public that wants to speak on this application?
I am a member of the public. And really, I just have a question.
Okay. I need you to stop right there for a second. Is it on this application on Constitution? Okay.
Yes.
The way we do business here is we have to get people's name, address, and swear them in. So let's do that with you.
Mike Anderson, 7501 Summer Avenue, Northeast.
Do you swear for to tell the truth?
I do.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead, Mr. Anderson.
Less a comment, more a question. The Will Ferguson building next door, it's a good comparison. Can somebody tell us how big that building is? We know that it was said that this building will be right about the 70-foot height. What is a good comparison next door? Do we know how big that Will Ferguson building is, how tall it is, so that the residents, and I'm a resident, I live a couple blocks away, drive past it all the time. I'm just curious to know, what is the height comparison to the building next door? Thank you.
Okay. Go ahead, Mr.
Dan Monk. I think I can answer that, Mr. Anderson.
Okay.
We had a drone flight out there for several photos of the site, and he calculated the building height to the top of the parapet at that Ferguson building at 50 feet. There's some additional structures on top of the building that are screens for HVAC equipment, but those aren't shown in our section, so they extend beyond what we're showing currently. And so that if we're showing the top of the building proper at about 50 feet, and then our building is the high point of the building along Constitution is at 69 feet. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, thank you. So it's about the same height.
It's taller. It's a little taller.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Is there anyone else from the public that I may have not gotten yet that would like to speak on this? A lot of names in the room that I don't recognize. So, okay, we're gonna then go back. I like to bring the public in because sometimes DRB members can answer questions as we go along that could come up from the public. So let's go now to code enforcement.
Good morning, Vince Montagno, code enforcement. My comments for this project was I didn't see any notes or details for the window recessed. That's 511 E2B1. Also, I didn't see any outdoor lighting. If you could just provide any outdoor lighting detail and assure that it complies with section 5.8. And then on the open space calculations, you referred to MXH. That's just a clerical or grounding error. So you can change that to MXM. That's all I really had on this project.
I can, Mr. Montano, this is Dan. I can respond to the window. We've since added some information how we are in compliance with the IDO facade requirements to the exterior building elevations.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, and are you recessing the windows, Mr. Monk?
Yes, we are on the street side facade.
Okay. All right.
And this is Anthony Santi again. I think I can respond to the lighting comment. There should have been, maybe Jackie, you can correct me if I'm wrong, a lighting plan included with the package, but we don't have any site lighting as far as poles go. All of the lighting, because of the podium parking, is lighting underneath the structure itself. And then where we're lighting the adjacent surface parking, we have building mounted lights. And we did have a lighting study done. So those are all falling off to zero, lumens at the property lines.
Okay. And those lights, just to be sure, those lights will have to be 90 degree angles, the one that are on the building, as well as the light spillage.
Right.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, Parks and Recreation.
Hello, this is Cheryl Smirko at Parks and Recreation Department. I was just wondering about the building height. I was wondering if you could send those diagrams that you had in this presentation. I don't think they're part of the packet for our records, since it will be across the street from our facility. And I was wondering if you could talk more about bicycle accommodations. You might have that in the packet, I just haven't found it. And sure. Then there was one note to add that from the IDO that organic mulch is required around trees.
Okay.
I think you've done in other projects, so you should be aware of that one. So that's all. Thank you.
Okay. Madam Chair, Ms. Sommerfeld, in terms of the bike facilities, this keynote number 12 shows where our bike storage is in the building. Can you see my screen
yes.
still?
Yes.
Okay, so that's where is that? Number 12, bike storage room. And then, yes, we are obviously aware that we're across from Jerry Klein Park. My office is actually currently providing services to the Parks and Rec Department on that park facility. One of the things I did want to mention too is in the facilitated meeting, there was some public comments about some of the backup and the traffic at this intersection of Louisiana and Constitution. And some of the neighbors asked if it would be possible that the city put in a right turn lane. I told them I would transmit that comment to you all. And I know our design team has, I think, brought it up at our project team meeting on the Jerry Klein Park yesterday. So just to let you all know, and I don't know if we need to connect with Jean about that, but like I said, I promised the neighbors I would bring it up today.
Right turn lane into Jerry Klein or into this complex?
No, a right turn lane from westbound Constitution to northbound Louisiana.
Okay. Perhaps transportation, maybe Jean can speak about this too. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Yeah, and just so you know, Ms. Sommerfeld, you just trailed off a little bit for next time you're commenting. I just thought of this, Ms. Fishman, as you were speaking. This is Chair Wolfley. Did you actually send us the facilitated meeting notes? Because that's how we get those, is from the agent.
This is Jay Rodenbeck. I can confirm that we got them. I'll share my screen here, but we got them.
Yeah, I guess sometimes we get them from the facilitator, but okay. All right, we're ready to move on to hydrology.
Ernest Armijo, hydrology. Hydrology has received the conceptual grading and drainage plan. Right now we're waiting on minor corrections from the engineer given on August 6, 2021. So hydrology can issue an approval. For hydrology's work, we're recommending a 1 week deferral.
Any questions for Mr. Armijo? All right, let's move on to transportation.
Good morning, this is Jean Wolfenberger with transportation. I'll just start off with my normal comments and then we'll discuss the right turn lane issue. I just wanted to make sure the radii for the drive entrances are shown in front of the property. It looks like the latest site plan drawing that's shown with the 15-foot radii, it does not look like the latest site plan has encroachment of the radii in front of the adjacent property. I just wanted to make sure we kept it and the radii for the entrance in front of the property, basically. Also include all required 8-foot van accessible aisles. I see one there. I think more are needed. So please double check the ADA requirements on that. It was already explained to me the bike storage requirements. So I want to delete my comment number 3 that I sent last night. Show 6-foot ADA pathway from the handicap parking to the main door and from the handicap parking to the right of way. From the main door from the right of way, I'm sorry. And also provide adequate throat length from access onto Constitution. It looks a little bit short there for queuing of vehicles onto Constitution from the parking lot. There is also concern about safety for the proximity of the handicap spaces and crosswalk to the entrance. I see potential for some accidents there. So if we could look at possibly relocating the handicap spots from that area and also list a 2% cross slope for the sidewalk detail. Regarding the right turn lane, analysis, this project doesn't require a traffic study, so I wasn't anticipating putting in any offsite infrastructure. However, you could refer to DPM requirements to see whether or not a right turn lane is warranted based on the numbers, but an analysis would have to be done based on how much this project contributed to Constitution, as well as conducting traffic counts at the intersection to see if indeed a right turn lane is warranted.
Madam Chair, Ms. Wolfenberger, this is Jackie Fishman again. I was not volunteering our client to build that turn lane. I was transmitting an existing issue with the neighborhood with this intersection. I think in their opinion, the issue exists regardless of this project. So. I just want to make that clear. I'm just the messenger, and I don't think this project by itself warrants a traffic study or putting in the right turn lane. So.
This is Jean with transportation. You would put in a right turn lane if this project created need for a right turn lane specifically. That's how we stand, and it may be appropriate just to write a statement or just have Mr. Floyd write a statement to that effect.
Okay.
In the next submittal, just explaining that.
Okay.
And this is Chair Wolfley, just for my curiosity, where is the right turn lane that is being sought? A right turn lane from where to where?
Madam Chair, again, this is Jackie Fishman. It would be the westbound Constitution to eastbound or to northbound Louisiana. So it's okay. At the intersection which, you know, we're, I don't know how many hundreds of feet east of that. So it's right at the northeast corner of Louisiana and Constitution.
Okay.
Can I make a quick comment? This is Cheryl Sommerfeld with Parks and Rec. Would, if you were to add a right turn lane at that area, would that then cut into the park property? Is that what you're talking about?
Madam Chair, again, this is Jackie Fishman. I'm not sure. We really haven't studied it. It's just something that came up in the neighborhood meeting, which should be in the facilitator's report. We could have our engineer look at it, either our project engineer or the engineer that's working on our design team for the park facility. But I really don't know what the right-of-way allowance would be there to accommodate that turn lane.
This is Cheryl Sommerfeld with Parks and Rec, because I know they're putting in a number of new tennis courts at that location, which I'm sure you're aware of since you're working on the project. Is there even room for a right turn lane there after the project?
Again, I'm not sure. There may or may not be. I think that, you know, there's also a prohibition against a right turn lane from northbound Louisiana to eastbound Constitution. So the neighborhood is just concerned with this intersection. And I was just hoping that maybe transportation could just take a look at it from a systems standpoint and not necessarily related to this project.
Okay, let's go ahead and move on to planning comments.
Hold on one second, if you would. This is Hugh Floyd. Sure. Question for Jean, just to clarify, you're not requiring any type of traffic study from us, correct?
This does not meet the threshold for a traffic study. And if it did, then that subsequently would require traffic counts and looking at offsite infrastructure. And this that's not the case for this situation. So, but I do believe that, to address neighbors' concerns, it's prudent just to provide a trip generation and just show how, just explain from your point of view why this project itself would not
be the trigger
for a right turn lane, and that it's an existing issue that might be worthwhile explaining that.
Gotcha. Okay. Thank you.
That was helpful, Mr. Floyd. Thank you. Let's now go to planning comments.
This is Jay Rodenbeck. We had questions regarding the open space calculations. I believe those have been answered. Existing questions include, we need signature blocks for the DRB and solid waste signatures added to the amended site plan. All the site plan sheets need to be sealed and signed by a design professional, and the landscape plan needs to be sealed and signed by a landscape architect. I don't believe there were some that were, I believe some were not. This one is not. We need a more extensive justification letter describing, explaining, and justifying the request in accordance with 6.6.I.3 of the IDO. And in that justification letter, it would be helpful to just confirm that the site plan amendment was in part due to the site plan for subdivision approval having a maximum building height of 36 feet while the apartments are much higher as previously described. Could you just confirm that this is one of the reasons behind the amendment?
Yes, Madam Chair. Mr. Rodenbeck, yes, that is the reason for the amendment to the site plan for subdivision was primarily for the building height limitation. When I did that site plan for a subdivision, whenever it was 10, 15 years ago, so this project would be amending that height limit.
Thank you, Jack. This is Jay Rodenbeck. Thank you for answering that. And if you could just add that into the letter of justification to make that clear. Another question, Jackie, I just want to make sure and confirm there is no infrastructure list that was originally submitted with this submittal. Is that correct? I didn't see one in the submittal.
Madam Chair, yes, that and Jay, that's correct.
Okay.
My understanding was that there was no infrastructure list attached to this project.
This is Jay Rodenbeck. Thank you for confirming that. Final comment we had is just please, in a comments response letter, show how you're complying with the facade design requirements of 511E of the IDO. And just one other thing, Madam Chair, Maggie, you can jump in here too, but those 3D renderings were very helpful for figuring out what's going on in this development. If it would, in my opinion, it would be very helpful to have the two of the renderings added to the site plan, to the supplemental submittal packet. It's very helpful for me at least, and I'm sure for everyone else to have that in there. Okay. And that's all I have.
Okay. Can I see one other thing? This is Cheryl Somerville with Parks and Rec. Yes, I would appreciate those as soon as possible. Just I guess email to the board. But the other question was, can you give us an idea of the proposed schedule when you're expecting to begin the construction?
Madam Chair, Ms. Sommerfeld, I'm not sure I can answer that question. I don't know if anyone else on the team could. Is Adam, are you on this call? Adam is the owner's representative.
And, yes, I'm on the call.
Okay.
Okay, Adam, let's go ahead and have you state your name and address.
My name's Adam Gromer. Address is 150 120th Ave Northeast.
And just sort of state your affiliation with the project as well.
Yeah, I'm the director of planning and design for Legacy.
Okay, great. And do you swear from to tell the truth?
Yes.
Okay, now you have to say something that's worth all that trouble. Okay, Adam, go ahead.
So I guess, Jackie, what was your question there?
Adam, I think they were asking what the schedule for construction might be here.
I do not know yet. I am still kind of getting caught up to speed on all of this, but I would imagine that once we have building permit, pushing through is, you know, pretty quickly after that.
Madam Chair, Faisal Kassam here. I just attended. I just logged on.
I'm
right
gonna
now.
I'm going to need to enter you into the record. So if you'll state your name, company, address.
Legacy Development Management, 5051 Journal Center, Faisal Kassam.
Do you swear for him to tell the truth?
I swear.
Thank you, Mr. Kassam. Please go ahead.
Our intentions is to, DRB, hopefully we'll get passed within this month. I don't see it taking any longer than that. Plant set will take, 3 to 4 months. Permitting a couple months thereafter. So that's 6 months out. And I figure second quarter of next year. That's what I'm thinking, maybe third at the latest, to start construction.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Kassam. That was really helpful.
Thank you.
And I'm trying to remember now a couple of things I wanted to bring up. So I think going back to planning comments, Ms. Fishman, I think we were just wanting to make sure as this that your application letter was clearly stating what your amendment was, your site plan amendment, and that is relating to height.
I was pretty sure that was in there, but I'll check.
Okay. We could have overlooked it, but that's part of what we're seeking there. I'm glad sometimes I mark things with pink because I have so many notes on my agenda. Mr. Carter, did you recommend adding hydrants to an infrastructure list? Because we were just talking about there wasn't one, and I remembered in your comments that.
This is Blaine Carter for the Water Authority. Yes, I did say that. If there's not an infrastructure list for this project, I believe for this type of project, the fire marshal has another way to make sure those get installed. So we would not need that if that's the only item. And same thing, I think with the water meter, we can handle that through our normal process. So we do not need an infrastructure list just for those items. If there's one already, we can add it, but if not, we're good to go. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And Ms. Wolfenberger, you don't have any items. All your items are on site, correct?
Yes. Okay. This is Jane with Transportation.
All right. And I just wanted to point out to the applicant that we did get feedback from external agencies. The one I want to note is the Albuquerque Public Schools, which looks like they had capacity for students in the middle and high schools and some strain of capacity for the elementary school level. So I just wanted to make sure you noted that. And with that, I think we're ready to talk about a deferral. We've got hydrology and then various transportation cleanups going on and a little bit of pros on the building facades, et cetera. So do you have a, Ms. Fishman, do you have a date in mind? How many weeks out?
Yes, Madam Chair, this is Jackie Fishman again, and I'll wait for my team to weigh in here. Of course, we all know that in order to have a 1 week deferral, we'd have to resubmit, do a supplemental submittal by this Friday at noon. I always believe it's doable, but I'll wait for the engineer and the architect to weigh in on that.
And Mr. Armijo, did you have a, I can't remember if you had a comment on how much time you thought you needed for Ernest, grading and drainage.
Ernest Armijo, hydrology. Yes, I had said that for hydrology's needs, we think a 1 week would be fine just because the comments were just minor little things that needed to be taken care of.
Okay. Maybe Mr. Floyd, do you have a comment?
Yeah, in regards to the hydrology stuff, I believe we have those addressed internally already, but the trip generation might push us out a little further to have that generation and explanation ready.
So maybe August 25th, Ms. Fishman?
Madam Chair, this is Jackie Fishman again. Yes, there would be a two-week deferral. That would be acceptable to us.
Okay. Is there a motion to defer item 2 to August 25th?
And Carter, Water Authority, so moved.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology, second.
Please vote.
Blaine Carter, Water Authority, I approve.
Vincent Montano, Code Enforcement, I approve.
Carol Sommerfeld, Parks and Rec, I approve.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology, I approve.
Jane Wolfenbacher with Transportation, I approve.
And Jolene Wolfley, DRB Chair, approves. There's a consensus vote of the DRB to defer item 2, PR 2020-5689, and SI 2021-987, site plan amendment to August 25th. Okay.